know items at this hour, those being traffic and weather and your money. First of all, on the traffic screen, we've had this one little problem in Napa County so far, and that was a crash of some kind a mile south of the Lake County line on Highway 29. No further detail available, but that's been working there for a while. We now have an animal hazard report, I-80 westbound at Cherry Glen Road. And other than those two, not a lot going on so far in the Napa, Sonoma, Solano County, North Bay region right now. Weather forecast, we're starting out with 50 degrees and clear skies this morning. We're on our way to highs ranging from about 83 in Napa to about 90 in St. Helena today. And through the weekend, that range should persist. And then we get into Monday, we're back up into the low 90s in Napa and mid-90s up valley, so about a 7 or 8 degree rise coming for Monday and Tuesday. And we should cool off again a little bit Wednesday, Thursday. It's going to really push harvest in some serious ways for a lot of folks over this next few days, it appears. Today is the last day of summer. The autumnal equinox is at 6:54 p.m. tomorrow evening in Pacific time. That's your update on weather and traffic. On the markets today, coming off of record highs yesterday, the major indices have all been in the plus so far. And last check, we see it's holding with about a 0.2 percentage point increase across the board on the three major indices so far today. That's your update on the basics. It's now 7:09 at KVON. I'm Barry Martin, and happy to welcome into the studio to chat with us this morning, Madeline Paquette of Wine Folly. Good morning, Madeline.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in to the radio station bright and early.
Oh, yeah.
You are in Napa to celebrate the opening of a new movie. Tell us about that, first of all.
The new movie, Psalm 3. So there's Psalm 1, Psalm 2, Into the Bottle, and then Psalm 3. These were documentaries by Jason and Christina Wise. World premiere happened last night at Clos du Val Winery, and you heard a lot of cheers in the audience last night. I think this movie really puts, not only does it put California on the map again in a big way, but it also asks us to think even more seriously about Pinot and how Pinot Noir is maybe the real up-and-comer that in the midst. So it was very exciting, and a lot of people were, again, almost the entire cast was there. Dustin Wilson, Brian McClintock, Dylan Proctor, and a whole host of other folks were there to ring in the night. So it was a great evening.
Yeah.
And they're doing it again tonight. And from what I heard, there might still be tickets available. So if you dig around, you might be able to still find some.
Is it also at Clos du Val?
It's at Clos du Val Winery, yes.
Okay, for tonight. Excellent. You can search that out and find out more. But our focus for having you on is to talk about your enterprise, which is called Wine Folly. And I don't know how I came across it randomly. I'm sure I just searching for something and landed on this site that is so excellently presented. And I immediately had the reaction of, this person really knows how to create an infographic, knows how to do a graphic presentation. You must be a designer. Sure enough, you are. So let's talk about give us the elevator speech. What is Wine Folly?
Well, I started Wine Folly back in 2011. There wasn't a lot of websites helping normal people get into wine. There was a lot of erudite stuff online and a lot of people talking, but not a whole lot of, hey, what are the different grapes should I try? And if I like this, will I like that? And so I became a certified sommelier in 2010, and I felt there was a need, and I happened to have a background in graphic design, so I wasn't too good with words, so I started making really useful pictures to help communicate wine. Winefall is the site. We're also on social media, and I have a new book coming out on Tuesday.
Wow.
So it's basically a visual guide to wine designed for the beginner, but with the, actually, if you want to get Psalm's level of knowledge, if you want to feel like, hey, I love wine, I'm into wine, I really want to know what the most important grapes are, what the regions are, what the wines from the different regions I should try are, to really get an amazing sort of wide viewpoint of the wine world, that's basically what this book does.
Yeah, and wide and comprehensively wide in the sense that I can't think of a topic that I've looked for on your site that I don't find something about, whether it's, you know, etiquette basics or misconceptions or varietals. It's really broad.
Yeah, yeah. We really like to cover the questions that people ask. I mean, it's weird, you know, when you learn to become a sommelier, you focus so much on that education element, and then you forget the simple questions that you get asked, like, I like a wine that's smooth, or I don't like sulfites, they give me a headache, and you know, things like that. And so I started asking myself those simple questions and really actually deep diving into the research and discovered that, wow, sulfites might actually not be the thing that are giving us headaches. You know, this was like an aha moment. And here I'm a sommelier, I think I know everything. And so I feel like the Wine Folly has helped me learn so much more about wine, asking these simple questions, and then answering and helping other folks learn.
Mm-hmm. So the book, which I have a copy of here in front of me, is a new edition, a reworked edition of your master guide.
Yeah. It's called Wine Folly because I'm not too creative when it comes to names. I hear that's a good thing. This book, Wine Folly, the Magnum Edition, I took a look at the first book, which is actually, it's a bestseller. It's doing fantastic on Amazon. If you just search wine, it pops up. So it seems foolish to make another book, but, you know, you can always do better, right? We can always try harder. We can always do better. We can always do more. And I looked at the feedback that I got, the critical feedback, and I took it really seriously. And I also looked at my own personal feedback because, you know, when you make something like this, there's always corners you have to cut, things you got to cut out that you didn't want to cut. And I had a chance with this book to really go the extra mile and make something that I'm deeply proud of. And the reason I'm so proud of is I got some help. I found another designer in Italy, Federica Fragapane. She's young, she's really smart. And I got a couple other wine experts to help me edit the copy, edit the book, really go through and think through the experience of learning wine. And I was able to redesign sort of how you flow into the book. And one of the biggest feedbacks I got on the first book is it's so amazing how quickly you can learn. And the first section of this book is all just the really fun learning stuff. And then the rest of the book is a guide. It's like, here's what you need to know to read the rest, you know, and then you just open a page and you start drinking and you start tasting different things and you compare different wines with one another and you can really expand your palate.
Mm-hmm. And I've been, that's where I've been into this past summer, particularly. Just every time I'm around any selection, I don't want anything I've had before. I've been into this, like, what have I not tried, varietal-wise, particularly?
Yeah, you know, that just happened to me. I was staying up in Calistoga at Indian Springs. We went to their little restaurant there, and they had a Napa Valley Vermentino. This is a white grape that does not get on the radar ever. We're on the radar right now. It's on the radar. I had a Napa Valley Vermentino, and it blew my mind. It's a little white wine. It kind of reminds me of Sauvignon Blanc, mm-hmm. and it grows very well here, apparently. Who would have known? We all think Cabernet's the only thing here, but there's some fun stuff in this valley if you dig around.
I discovered a bottle of Pegato that I had never come across before, which is very similar to Vermentino. Yeah.
I have a sneaking suspicion that Pegato might actually be a synonym of Vermentino. Flip to the Vermentino page.
Why
it's
don't
alphabetical
we do that?
All right. It's alphabetically ordered.
X, right, what, does X, V come close. Before?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. It's early. There it is, Vermentino. And I wish we were on TV because we could hold this up.
Look at the top
by the
mm-hmm. Vermentino.
You're right.
Pegato.
You're right. It does show that as a synonym for.
Yes, I remembered correctly.
Nicely done.
So it's a good thing I have this book because I have a terrible memory. So I'm always opening it up to remind myself those simple things that you mentioned.
That points up a challenge for people trying to get even fundamentally familiar with wine varietals, the fact that the same grape is called different things in different places.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, the fact that in Europe, European wines are sort of based on where they're from, not what they are. Talk about that a little bit and the challenge of learning.
Well, you know, I think France is very proud and so is Italy. And then the north of Italy is very proud and the south of Italy is very proud and the middle of Italy is very proud. And they don't want to let go of the historic name of that grape and have sort of consensus on what it should be called. And that is the biggest issue that we have sort of right now as the world becomes, as we become more global and curious and interested in Italian heritage grapes, you know, Sangiovese and Vermentino. And then, you know, you've got these proud groups who don't want to give up their names, and eventually someone has to be like, and I think Americans are really good at sort of leveling the playing field, because we just are who we are, and we go, well, that's what everyone calls it here. So some grapes get a new name. So Petite Syrah, amazing grape grown in Napa, and all around this whole area. There's maybe 10,000 acres in the world, and maybe 9,000 of them are here in California. So it's called Duraf in France, and they're very proud of that name. But you know what? We call it Petite Syrah, so that's its name.
Or as one old-time winemaker, grower up Valley called him the Pets.
The Pets. I love the Pets. Now I'm going to call it the Pets from now on. The best name.
Yeah, the Pets. It. I can't remember the name of that grower. But
So when you're drinking your Pets.
Yeah. We're talking with Madeline Paquette from Wine Folly of Wine Folly, which is your creation from the ground up, right?
Yeah. Actually, the other author on the book is my significant other, Justin Hammock. He is the visionary for the site. I'm wine smart. I'm design smart. And he's direction smart. But I was a little bit of a headstrong sommelier. And he was like, you got to help people like your grandmother drink wine, drink better wine. Help my mom drink better wine. And I think his guidance and his tech expertise, he helped actually build the first site, brought me to where we are today. And now I have a developer. We have another, an operations marketing director who works with me actually in San Diego. We work on Skype together. I live in Seattle. And the developer lives in South Africa. So we're just a motley crew of people who just try really hard to produce as much great content as we can to help people learn. And we have these cool products. I do posters, I sell maps, and some other cool accessories and kits to help people learn and get into wine and the book. And that's what we're building. And we're building an entire sort of knowledge base on wine. You can see it on the site now. The first version of it just came out maybe last week. A whole wines and grapes database with over 155 grapes and wines. Over 150. It actually has 155 right now. I've got to add more.
I used to be, when I had some kind of a wine question in my mind, I would just Google search. Now I kind of tend to go to your site first and search on your site. That shows, you know, just one
awesome
example. Well, I'm on it. I'm always looking for the quickest source, you know, and something that will give me a straightforward answer, not, you know, seven paragraphs before I get to my answer.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk much more, and I want to get your wine epiphany story. You were telling me that a little bit off the air. I always like to hear those stories about when you have that, oh, I get it moment, right? All right, back with Madeline after a couple of messages here on the KVON Morning Show.
Safeway Open, presented by Chevron, returns to Napa at the Silverado Resort and Spa October 3rd through the 7th. World Golf Hall of Famer Phil Mickelson and two-time defending champion Brendan Steele headline the field at the PGA Tour's season opener. When the golf ends, the music begins. The Safeway Open Concert Series kicks off on Thursday night with Sammy Hagar. Friday night features Young the Giant, and Saturday night, don't miss Billy Idol live from the Chevron stage. Daily tickets start at just $30 and include access to golf and concerts. New this year, 100% of ticket sales support fire relief right here in the Napa Valley. For tickets and information, visit SafewayOpen.com.
Good morning, Napa Valley. This is Angelo Lyons bringing you your Millennial Minute. Spotify will begin allowing a select group of independent artists the ability to upload their music directly onto the streaming platform through their Spotify for Artists account. The program, which is launching in beta format, has been quietly tested with a small group of artists, including No Name, Michael Brun, VIAA, and Hot Shade, and will be made available by invitation to a few hundred US-based independent artists. According to an article written by Matt Wales, the Belgian government, which declared loot boxes to be a form of gambling earlier this year, has reportedly launched a criminal investigation into EA after the publisher refused to modify FIFA's randomized card packs. Back in April, Belgium's Gaming Commission determined that loot boxes found in FIFA 18, Overwatch, and Counter-Strike Global Offensive were an illegal game of chance, and thus subject to Belgian gambling laws. Lastly, in celebrity news that you care about, Jessica Simpson and Eric Johnson are expecting their third child. The couple announced the happy news Wednesday on Instagram with a series of photos that captured their two kids, Maxwell 6 and Ace 5, popping black balloons that revealed the gender of the soon-to-be baby girl. I'm Angelo Lyons, and this has been your Millennial Minute on KBON, airing every Friday to update you on the latest and greatest. Don't forget to tune in or stream us on KBON.com.
This is Auntie Dorothy, Dorothy Salmon, and today in the Napa Valley on 1440 KBON. You'll be listening to local leaders who are very important to your past, your present, and your future, and all the great things that are happening here in our valley. Join me on Monday mornings from 9 to 10 on 1440 AM KBON, today in the Napa Valley. Be engaged.
And we're back, 724 at KVON. It's the Friday, September 21st, KVON Morning Show. I'm Barry Martin, and happy to have in studio this morning Madeline Paquette from Wine Folly, who is based in Seattle, but is visiting Napa right now and in town for the premiere of Psalm 3 that took place last night and is showing again tonight at Clos du Vall. And we'll leave you to go search that out and see if you can get a ticket to see that new film. I want to talk more about why you think this film's going to be good for Pinot in a little bit too. But before we do that, the wine epiphany moment, I love having this conversation with people who have discovered the pleasures of tasting and drinking and enjoying wine. And I don't mean being fancy necessarily, but just enjoying and tasting wine. Tell us your wine epiphany story, because
yeah.
This is good.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We have these words that we use, and I think they invented one last night. There's the aha wine. That's this wine we're talking about, the epiphany wine. Then there's the unicorn wine. It's the rare wine you never see. It's so special. It's so special to have. And then there's the ghost wine, a wine that maybe just shouldn't even exist. Like, it was found. It was discovered. It doesn't exist. Like, it's so rare. It's a ghost. It should be dead, but it's a ghost. Anyway, so my aha wine. You know, I was in college when I turned 21. My dad is a champion. He bought me a wine subscription, K&L Wine Merchants. They're an outfit out of Redwood City, I think, mm-hmm. Somewhere down there, somewhere south of SF. And they sent me two bottles a month. And I'd been in the wine subscription for about a year. And the bottle came in. It was a 2005 Cote de Rhone. This is a blend. It's got lots of Grenache in it. Or Grenache, however you'd like to call it. And this wine, for whatever reason, smelled like olives. Maybe it had a lot of Syrah in it, actually, when I think about that. it smelled like olives, and I wasn't even the one to pick it out. I was sniffing it, looking for fruit. And my Justin called it out, my significant other, and he's like, this smells like olives. And that was the moment. It broke my brain. It was like, oh, my God, wines can be savory. They don't just have to smell like fruit and vanilla and cake and chocolate. They can be savory and peppery and weird and meaty and all these other things. And suddenly, when I sniffed a glass of wine, it could be anything. I would close my eyes and I'd be like, I smell my grandmother's basement, or, you know,
yep.
I smell wet socks.
Yeah.
So, like, then all of a sudden, I was free to just pick out whatever I wanted, like whatever was there. I didn't have to lie and be like, I don't smell berry shortcake, because I didn't a lot of times. It was sour. It was bitter. It was weird. Wine is weird. And that was my aha moment, that it was weird like I was, and we could share some time together.
Mm-hmm.
And I started purchasing wine, and I ran into all these problems, like vintage variation, and why did this wine taste different every year? Why is that? That's terrible. Tomatoes taste the same, don't they? And I realized that I was learning more about the subtleties of life and flavor and taste and how our world changes every year, and we have a different story every year. And wine, it blew my mind. It just blew my mind, and I wanted to share that with everyone.
Yeah. I guess you have to be a curious person, right? A curious person, then when something surprises you, you have to understand more about it. That sounds like...
Yeah, I think the knee-jerk reaction is like, ew, it's weird, I don't like it. I was like, ew, this is weird, I like it. But I was living in Los Angeles at the time, so there's a lot of weird down there, and you kind of have to take it with a teaspoon. You got to like that stuff.
What do you think about the generational issues? You're a great representative of the new generation in the industry. And
yeah, I'm like a millennial elder. I'm 35.
Okay.
So
there's, you know, so much talk, and everyone who analyzes the market is focused on the millennial. What is the millennial going to do? How are they going to move into the stage of their parents, you could say, that affluent wine buyer that places like Napa rely on?
Well, you know, us millennials and the youngers, we got to make money. You know, we don't have that much money to throw around and buy expensive wines. So if you want to know the secret, we're looking for good values. And we know that Cabernet and Pinot Noir are expensive, so we're going, give me some alternatives. Show me some place I've never heard of that's got a $15 to $20, maybe $25 bottles, my max, fancy, fancy night. And I'll drink really well. And, you know, going out and having drinks, you know, if you stay in and maybe have some friends over, you guys can all share a bottle, and it's a lot cheaper, and you can have an amazing tasting experience. So I think we have a lot of folks in my age and younger who are wanting to elevate themselves and trying to be smart about it. They have the internet at their fingertips. We all have the internet at our fingertips. We can talk to our phones, and it gives us answers. So this is how we're finding out about things, and this is how we're trying to improve ourselves. And I think what's really magical about younger generations is a deep curiosity for the world, a desire to travel, a desire to see the world, a desire to see what's here while it's still here. And we want to preserve that, understand that, touch it, you know, and maybe even, you know, I hear a lot of young people want to become farmers. I don't think I've ever heard that in my entire life of people anywhere. I've talked to a young woman who's like, I'm starting a farm it's outside of Seattle, it's in the middle of nowhere, and she's going to grow berries. They're all different kinds of berries. And different kinds of wild berries, berries that haven't really been on the marketplace. All these different types of currants I've never seen before grow up in the Seattle area. And raspberries that are like bright orange and taste kind of bitter. And they're unlike anything you've had. Mm. And she wants to grow berries. And I'm like, yes, grow berries. I've never tasted berries like the ones you're growing. I want to taste those berries. Mm. So we have like a sort of a desire to bring the heritage with us, to carry the heritage forward. And I think that's the most exciting thing about the younger generation. There's also other variants, and this is a huge pie, sure, and this is a small piece of that pie,
right,
that I'm talking about, but I'm excited to see that.
Madeline Paquette is our guest. Time for a break. We'll come back with much more and continue here on the KVON Morning Show talking about wine folly. And we want to get more into that discussion about Pinot Noir, which is my favorite. And so, of course, I want to focus on that. It's all about me. Back with more in just a moment.
The A&W in St. Helena is now serving fresh baked blueberry and cranberry orange scones for breakfast. Or try a signature buttermilk biscuit with sausage gravy or a half-pound breakfast burrito with a variety of hot or iced coffee drinks. Breakfast is served hot, fast, and fresh Monday through Friday, 6 to 11 a.m., and on Saturday and Sunday, 7 to 11 a.m. Stop by for a delicious quick breakfast only available at your local A&W in St. Helena.
Prices may vary. Tax extra.
I'm Nate Campbell, updating you on some stories we are following in the KVON newsroom, moving around on two wheels. Well, authorities have been keeping an eye on you. Recently, the Napa Police Department Traffic Unit conducted a motorcycle safety enforcement operation. 20 motorcyclists were stopped for vehicle code violations, 11 citations issued, including 3 for driving without a motorcycle license endorsement. A Wind Down Media exclusive: as the one-year anniversary approaches, we reflect on the October wildfires, the experiences we shared.
I was out at Henry Road because that's where one of the fires swept through from Partrick Road, came down Henry Road. Henry Road is right at the base of Partrick. And it swept down through Henry Road and up over Milliken Peak. It's a transmission line for Browns Valley, PG&E. Saw 4 PG&E trucks out right there working on that. That was the good news.
Some folks were coming in. Some areas, they're starting to get power back a bit here and there sporadically, which is, of course, great news.
They told me that St. Helena had gotten their power back.
Right, and Yountville as well. Hi, you're live on the air.
Hi. I understand there's somebody that might answer some questions.
Major source of smoke on that east side of the mountain range. And it looks like the wind is headed to the north.
Supervisor Brad Wagon Connect, Mindy Levine, listener Collins, and the sounds you heard on our radio stations, The Vine and KVON, 1 year ago. And tweets from around the wine country from Schaefer Vineyards. They're thrilled their video, A Winery Year, is one of the honorable mentions judges picks in the 2018 Wine Spectator Video Contest. Big thanks to Napa Films. And Lorenzo, director of vineyard operations at Hess, shared a harvest update saying the warm days experienced last week sped up the ripening of grapes. This week they picked Pinot Gris and more Chardonnay. Hashtag harvest. Napa in the North Bay, you are up to date. I'm Nate Campbell. That's the news. Your Napa Valley and North Bay News is brought to you by the Napa Valley Wine Train, making Monday blues a whole lot better with Hop Train Happy Hour. Train departs at 5:45 p.m. Locals pay just $50. Every Monday, we invite you to join the Hop Train Happy Hour. Book your experience at winetrain.com using booking code LHNS. Restrictions apply.
The Oakland A's are at home and the Giants are on the road this weekend. This is a sports report with Ira C. Smith. The Oakland Athletics will close out their regular season home games this weekend, hosting the Minnesota Twins tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday afternoon. While a former Oakland A's pitcher, Mark Mulder, has been invited to play in the Safeway Open Golf Tournament coming up in Napa. He's a pretty good golfer. He won the celebrity event near South Lake Tahoe 3 consecutive years. He was second this last year. He has accepted the Safeway Open sponsor exemption and will play in that PGA event October the 4th through the 7th. And John Daly also gets a sponsor exemption to play out there at Silverado Resort's North Course. The San Francisco Giants, by the way, are at St. Louis this weekend. And we have on the local scene homecoming for the Vintage Eye Crushers tonight as the Crushers host Casa Grande of Petaluma. 6:45 airtime for the broadcast on KVON. Justin Siena will be at home against Petaluma tonight. 6:45 airtime on KVYN 99.3 FM. And also in the Vine Valley Athletic League, American Canyon is home to Sonoma Valley. St. Helena's hosting Clear Lake. Anderson Valley is at Calistoga. And tomorrow, Stanford is at Oregon, and Cal has a bye. Both the Raiders and 49ers play at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. The 49ers at Kansas City and the Raiders at Miami. Here's a fun thing to do if you're hungry or thirsty in Napa. Come into either of the 2 McDonald's in Napa and treat yourself. If hungry, to a breakfast or lunch combo meal. If thirsty, for only $2, you can receive your choice of a small frappe, a milkshake, a McCafe, or a smoothie. So for a real breakfast or lunch combo meal and a thirst quencher, stop at the 2 McDonald's in Napa on Imola near Soskal and Jefferson near Trancas. I'm loving it.
NorthBayHelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Ladies and gentlemen, hi, I'm Helen from HR. Dave and I have an announcement about inappropriate humor.
That's right, this is very serious. Helen has told me there's some bad jokes going around this office, and I want to nip it in the bud. If a joke is going to be inappropriate, it has to be funny.
Dave, that's not the point.
Helen, please let me finish. From now on, all inappropriate jokes go through me first. I love inappropriate jokes.
No, Dave, the point is that they are never appropriate.
Helen is right, mm-hmm. Unless they're done right.
Well,
so I'll help you work on your delivery timing and better punchlines. If we can make HR laugh once in a while, maybe they'll loosen up and get those sticks out of there.
Dave!
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at NorthBayHelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
We don't discriminate against people named Dave. Dave is a common name, fun to say, and so we're using it as a catch-all for lackluster bosses everywhere. They post jobs on the big national job boards because they really don't care. Please do not write us to tell us you're a Dave who was insulted by this ad. That would be a real Dave move, Dave.
Do you like Spanish music?
Oh, yeah! Yeah!
I mean, real Spanish music. The latest hits. Oldies. Muchachi. Mariachi.
Por mujer.
Salsa.
Decide.
Then listen to me, Nicolás de Luna de Haro, every Sunday morning on KBON 1440 AM.
Smart Radio.
The best music, interviews, news, and a whole lot more. Domingos con Nico, La Voz del Valle, every Sunday morning at 6.
Se habla español.
Wherever you go, just tell your smart speaker to play KBON, the voice of Napa Valley.
And we are back at 7:38. Quick check on the basics here, things you might want to know about on your Friday morning. It's the last day of summer, by the way, if you want to celebrate that in some fashion. The Dow Jones and the S&P 500 up about 0.2%. The NASDAQ's gone negative, down about 0.1% so far in trading today. Over on the traffic screen, anything new, you ask? Well, over in Solano County, accident at the Scales, westbound 80 at the truck Scales in Cordelia. Non-injury, it looks like, for that one. And nothing else to really tell you about. Napa, Sonoma, and Solano County is looking okay as far as getting around this morning. Weather forecast, it's going to warm up, but not until Monday after that little push of temperatures yesterday. Today's range is 83 to 90 from Napa up to St. Helena for afternoon highs. And we'll stay that way through tomorrow and Sunday, it appears. And then by Monday, we're back up about 6 to 8 degrees across the board. And we'll stay on the warmer side for 2 or 3 days and then probably cool off a little bit there as well. Pretty nice weather. It's been a tremendous growing season around Napa Valley. And that segues us nicely back into our conversation with Madeline Paquette from Wine Folly, who writes about wine, draws pictures about wine, and produces the book called Wine Folly, The Master Guide. The new edition of that is coming out next Tuesday, is it? It's a tremendous book. It's so graphically engaging. And if you just flip to any page, you could spend probably 20 or 30 minutes. Like I just opened this one.
Yeah, Languedoc-Roussillon.
Yeah,
this is a region in France that actually makes the bulk of the wine in France that we drink. And it's affordable. It's an amazing value region. And they have some really neat grapes there that you've got to try. Mm-hmm. You just have to try. Grenache, Syrah, Carignan,
mm-hmm.
And they make the sparkling wine down there that's actually Limoux, Cremant de Limoux. Everyone thinks champagne, that's the first sparkling wine, but Limoux was the first people to do it. Actually, Dom Perignon, it went on actually travels and went down to the region there in Limoux, and I think that's where he got the idea.
Really?
Yeah, he brought it back to Champagne. And that's the story that's out there. It might be a ruse. You never know with that type of history. But that's the one that's floating around.
Yeah. I love all the stories, and so many of which, when I repeat them, I have to say, I don't know if this is true or not, but the story is.
This is the story.
So let's come back. When we started out talking about Pinot Noir and in connection to this new film, Psalm 3, which, as we mentioned earlier, you're in town for the premiere of currently. What were you talking about in terms of being good for California wine, being good for Pinot Noir?
Well, this whole movie hinges on the true story behind the Judgment of Paris. And this film does something that it's weird. Wine experts, I think, should all watch this movie because something happens in front of your eyes in this movie that when you watch it one time, I watched it the first time because I got the little preview example of the film that wasn't fully edited and whatnot. And then I watched it last night and I went, aha, I see. Something happens in this film in front of your eyes that asks a question. Is the best Pinot Noir in France? That's the question it asks, and then it starts to unfold and reveal that question and actually ask more questions about wine. In fact, you know how we just talked about an aha wine?
Mm-hmm.
It does that too. It talks about aha wines as well, that wine, that epiphany wine that changes the way you think about wine. And I think Jason and Christina Wise did a fabulous job on the film. And the people in it, you can tell, it's more behind the scenes. It's really a deep dive into what sommeliers do and freak out about and the fun stuff. And it's almost like, you know, like behind the scenes of chefs. It's behind the scenes of somms. What really is going on inside there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, lots of fun. And Pinot Noir plays a big role. Pinot Noir is an interesting grape. I'm going to steal Brian McClintock's words and say, you know that thin-skinned friend that you have that's really kind of hard to manage, but, you know, they have perfection about them in some moments? This is Pinot Noir. This is this weird grape. And so it grows everywhere. This is Meredith. Carol Meredith she understands grapes on a much more viticultural level, is in the area and makes great wine. It grows everywhere, but it doesn't grow everywhere great. So this is Pinot Noir. So everyone tries to grow Pinot Noir, and a lot of people fail at it, and some people, some regions do very well at it, and you guys know that over there in Sonoma and down here on the south side of Napa.
Mm-hmm.
This is the magic of Pinot Noir, is that it's actually very hard to do well. That's really lots of fun in this movie.
And when it's done well, I mean, this Pinot Noir is my preferred wine, but I'm pretty picky about it.
Why do you like Pinot Noir?
It's just kind of magical when it's really good. It just has indescribable combinations of fruit and floral qualities and perfumes and things.
Do you know Pinot Noir every time you smell it?
Yes.
Isn't that weird?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those grapes. Me, that Pinot Noir and Riesling, I'm like, it's like I'm smelling an old friend.
Yeah.
That's weird to say, but it's true.
I feel the same. Yeah, it's like in my skin or under my skin or in my bloodstream or something.
I got to give Napa Cabernet that homage too, though. Yeah. Whenever I smell Napa Cabernet, I'm like, oh, yeah. Dusty. I can smell the Rutherford dust that gets on our cars.
Yeah. I had that experience of saying to someone, can you taste the dirt, you know, in the wine? And they looked at me like I was crazy. Like, is there dirt in the wine? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, it's MOG, materials other than grapes. That's what they like to call it on the line.
Right.
Spiders and no, there's no spiders in your wine, I promise.
So since you are sort of a master wine educator now with your website and your books and what you do, what do you find to be the most challenging things? You get a lot of questions from your web followers, your blog readers, and so on. What's difficult for you to explain or to educate on?
Actually, there's two most difficult things. Preconceived notions about wine, the sulfites thing, being a great example, or alcohol does this to me or whatever. And then the other thing is knowing what you like, helping people learn their own sense of taste, which is, I can't tell you what you like. I can do is show you a bunch of stuff in hopefully a way that you can guide yourself into your own taste preference. And I think a lot of people are afraid that what they like is not okay. Like, if you like a sweet Riesling, go drink German Riesling. Go try it.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
If you like even a sweet red wine, there are some amazing sweet red wines that are very fine that you should know about. And that's okay. You might change your mind later on and drink some more drier stuff. But everyone starts somewhere, and everyone deserves to have their opinion, and they deserve to like the wines that they like, regardless of how much they are or what they are. And that's okay. And that was something very hard for me to accept. As a sommelier, you know what's good, right? You learn what the best is, and you've tasted a lot. And what you don't realize is the more you taste, the more your palate changes. Mm-hmm. I started out drinking these rich, bold red wines that were just almost sweet. And now I'm drinking these dry white wines that will, like, make your head spin because they're so acidic, you know? So they call me an acid head in the wine world. So... But that's why wine on the regular. Truly, I love all wines. I never stopped loving the big, bold, sweet red. Mm-hmm. I held on to that experience, and I accepted the fact that I loved that then. And so I have to accept the fact that other people are there in the doorway waiting to get in. And so accepting everyone at their level and helping them find that is the hardest part.
I was telling you off the air, we were talking about epiphany wines and so forth. My first wine experiences were Lancer's Rosé, Matus Rosé, and Blue Nun.
Blue Nun.
Right?
Yeah.
And I don't know what the sugar content is on those. It's high. But, I mean, my goodness, that if I hadn't had those wines when I did, I would never have tried that next glass of wine, right?
Yeah.
Because I enjoyed what I had.
Yeah.
If I had been given something that didn't have that sugar, didn't have those qualities of those cheaper wines, those grocery store wine, I probably wouldn't have had that other.
I was drinking this stuff. I bought a case of it called Sweet Petite from the El Dorado Footpills. And I regret that purchase now. Because that was hangover central. But Sweet Petite, the pets. It was the pets that got me.
Navoni, that's the name.
Navoni?
Navoni, that was the vineyard in St. Helena.
Oh, wow.
The guy who called him the pets.
The pets, Navoni. All right, homage to you, man. That's a good one.
So letting people have their own experience. And we've talked, just the other day, we had a guest on the wine curmudgeon. Do you know the wine curmudgeon?
Oh, yeah.
He writes about cheap wine, basically.
Yeah.
And we had a conversation about the wines in the grocery stores that are quite sweet. That don't say so.
Yeah.
The sweet reds that are very, very popular.
Yeah, like Jam Jar, 52 grams per liter. You know, if you compare that to a Coke, that's about as half sugar as a can of Coke. You know, most reds that are a little bit sweet only have like 10 to 15. So that's five times less than that 52, essentially. So it's a lot less sweet, 10 times less sweet than a Coke. So it's just a spoonful of sugar to get the medicine to go down.
And if you're pouring, let's say the less developed palate or the person who has
sweetness
the sweet
at that
tooth.
Level is not doesn't taste like sweetness. It's more like body.
Yeah.
Like, if you just add a tiny bit of sugar to a black coffee, it just makes the coffee have this more oily, like almost creamy body if you don't use cream in your coffee like most people do. And I actually like just a touch of sugar. Just a little bit of sugar in my coffee helps that sort of oiliness to happen. And the same thing happens with wine. And I think that's what winemakers do. And so instead of adding sugar to the wine, they're just not letting it ferment all the way. There's lots of sweetness in beautiful grapes. Mm-hmm. We don't have to add any more sugar. Mm-hmm. So we just let it ferment most of the way, and then we stop it right at the end. You know, a lot of people will cool it down. So the yeast is just like, oh, it's just too cold. I'm not going to eat any more sugar. And that's what you get, residual sugar in your wine. And it's not bad. I don't think it's bad. I've tasted some very expensive wines with residual sugar, you know, a gram or two. And they just add that little bit. It's a winemaker's decision. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with it. I think a lot of people cheat on the production, on the high, large production scale. But I don't think it's bad necessarily.
Yeah.
I think there's some great dry wines too. It would be nice if we could just know what it was as consumers. That would be rather nice.
Yeah.
It's not all secretive and cagey.
Good point.
But I'll work on that. I'll make sure that happens.
Okay. All right. The next edition of the book.
Yeah.
Section on that. What do you think about, is there a sort of a new revolution, you could say, in terms of how to describe this. The Robert Parker effect, some people are saying that that's starting to fade.
It is.
And our taste is moving towards something more European, really, away from this super fruity fruit bomb California style.
You know, I think it's because of what we eat. We can think whatever we want about Robert Parker. And he, honestly, he had some amazing ethics policies. He's a kind of great guy. But what we're starting to do is we're starting to eat different food. We're starting to like more fresh vegetables. We're starting to like more Mediterranean fare, fresh, you know, a la minute, less of this heavy, steaky, eggy stuff. We want a bowl, like a bowl with a fermented vegetable in it, some carrots and some meat and some rice and an avocado on top. That sounds delicious. I want to eat that right now. So what do you pair with that? Mm. Well, you need something a little bit different. Maybe you'd like, actually, Vermentino would go really well.
I just was going to say Vermentino.
Vermentino would go really well with that. Napa Vermentino and a macro bowl. So I think it has a lot to do with our consumption of foods and how we're trying to become more health conscious. So we're looking for less alcohol in our wine. We're looking for something we can drink with different foods and different experiences. Or maybe outside, al fresco, you know? I want a heavy red on a cold night in a leather chair staring in front of a fire. Like that, ooh,
gosh. You have a smoking jacket that you wear?
With my smoking jacket. How did you know I had one?
I couldn't agree more. I think one of the unexpected downsides for people, and I'm sure it happens every single day here in Napa, people out wine tasting, and they go through that flight of wines, and you hit the heavier stuff at the end, which is much higher in alcohol typically. And in some places, they're pouring you 7 or 8 different wines. You know, how does your palate survive that? And how do you get past the feeling that leaves you with that may not be a wonderful wine experience by the end of the day? You've been to 2-3 places, had more wine than you typically have. And
it's hard here because you pay a lot for the tastings.
Yeah.
So you want to drink the wine. And that's really tricky because it's gonna hit you in the head, guaranteed. It doesn't matter how big you are. That is true. You know, I don't know. All I know is that the tastings help. You learn how to comparative taste and find your way. Mm-hmm. I love that wine bars are doing more taste flights, so you can sort of do it at your own pace. Certainly tasting at a winery is a remarkable experience, and you kind of just want to get all just carried away in that moment and hopefully choose the right winery to go to so you like the wines, and then you can be, you know, carried away on your car, taken back to your hotel, and yeah. You can relax.
Thank God for Uber.
Yeah. And so I think that, you know, for me, I swish and spit when I'm doing professional tasting, but I do like to drink wine too. So I don't know what I recommend for people, but if you have the opportunity to swish and spit, I highly recommend it, especially at large tastings. You will not make it through the day. If you want to actually learn, plan to taste 50 wines and swish and spit.
Mm. 50 wines.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I'm up to it. I think I'm up to it. So while you're here in Napa Valley, I don't want to necessarily get endorsements from you, but do you have favorite places that you like to go, areas you like to be in, appellations that you prefer, or
sure. You know what I love about Napa is it's different from you've been talking about the weather the whole day, how it's 7 or 8 degrees warmer up in Calistoga area and then less cool down here. That's what I love, is all the different areas. They're so different. And Napa people know, you guys all know this, but outside of the region, people just think it's one block.
Yep.
And so I love Howell Mountain because it's got the views and it's got this really rustic soil. I love Calistoga because there's geysers there and hot, hot water. And it was like a weird hippie area that's now fancy, you know? God, it's so cool. And then I love going down the valley into Napa. There's that Cadet Wine Bar that's real hip, and they serve wine at the same time, and they're hip, and it's a really great. The Oxbow Market's lots of fun. So this whole region's a joy.
Yeah. Cadet is the place to go for people like me who want to feel really old.
Yeah.
Walk in there.
You've got your wine bar now, though, that Compline place that just opened.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's a really good place.
Yeah, so there's some great stuff happening all throughout the valley, and I love seeing innovation. That's my most favorite thing, and I'm starting to see more of it here, which is really fun.
Very good. Madeline Paquette, it's been absolutely delightful, as I knew it would be, to chat with you. And thank you for the work you do. I honestly do rely on this when I have wine questions. Yours is the site I go to, Wine Folly. And thank you for this copy of your new edition of the Wine Folly Master Guide. This will have a treasured place. Will you sign it for me?
Heck yes, I will.
Treasured place on my bookshelf. And thanks for coming in today, and thanks for your time.
Yeah. You got it.
It's 7:58, 2 minutes before 8 o'clock, time for a break. News coming up at the top of the hour, and then it's the Book Talk program on the way after the news. Stay tuned.
At Mary's Pizza Shack, even the commercials are homemade.
Vincent Luigi here to let everyone know that Mary's back-to-school specials are back to save the day.